This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. I normally say joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Unfortunately, Naz can't join us this morning. Naz, you called me last night. You told me why you couldn't be in this morning, and I wish you the best today. All the best, and we'll get you back in here real soon. Joining me, replacing Naz this morning, good friend of the show, former Washington Capital, former Toronto Maple Leaf. Of course, I'm talking about Leaping Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good morning, Wally. Those were big shoes to fill with Naz not being there.
Yeah, you sure do, Lou. I'm looking forward to an hour of going mano a mano with you. This should be a lot of fun. We always have some pretty spirited conversations off the air, many of which are unprintable or can't repeat them on the air. So maybe we'll have a few, but we'll certainly edit them to make them into family viewing. To all our listeners, thank you for joining us this morning. It's been a great summer. Thrilled to be back. Heading into our 10th season on the air on Zoomer Radio. So thanks to all who have kept us on the air and thanks to all who continue listening. Naz and I always joke that we're going to stay on the air until the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup. And we may be on here for a long time. Hopefully, continued good health will stay with us, and Leafs are going to be heading into a season shortly. Training camp's on; the prospects are going at it, so it should be a fascinating year in all kinds of different ways. A lot of things happened in sports over the summer. No way we can possibly get into them all. NCAA football's on the go. The women's had a World Cup that Spain won, but that didn't even end up being the biggest story from that World Cup. It got surrounded in controversy. The Bills are on the go. Leafs signed Austin Matthews and a couple of others. So many other things. Canadian men's basketball team had a remarkable performance in the FIBA World Championship. Beat the Americans in the bronze medal game, came pretty close to contending for the gold medal, have qualified for the Olympics next year, and we certainly have to talk about that. And coming on in the middle of the hour is Butch Carter, so we're going to talk some Canadian men's basketball. This is a golden age for the men's national basketball team. We've got some fantastic world-class players who shined over in the recent tournament, so we certainly want to talk about that. Middle of the hour, we have a special guest, one of Canada's sports broadcasting legends, who had some challenges over the summer. Before we go to the second break, before we go to the first break, I'll do a proper lead-in for that. Really looking forward to that interview. When we get him on the air, you'll all recognize his voice, and I think you'll be thrilled that he seems to be doing much better. Lewis, I don't know where we want to start this, but why don't we start with the big thing that happened in hockey in the Toronto area with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews, before we broke for the summer on Father's Day, we didn't know July 1st was coming up. Bradtree Living was the new general manager. We got Austin Matthews signed to a contract. I keep saying Todd Bertuzzi, Tyler Bertuzzi signed to a contract. And we got the Domi kid too, Max Domi, signed to a contract. Defense doesn't look like it's any better. The goaltending doesn't look like it's any better. Lou, let's chime in. Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews, 5-year contract. I think it's 13.5 million, 14.5. I don't know. Luke, correct me on that. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was a great deal for the Leafs to get him on that deal. They pretty much, I know Austin going in wanted 8 years. They wanted to give him, the team wanted to give him 8 years, and he wanted 3 or 4. They met in the middle. He will be the highest paid player until Connor McDavid's contract runs out. I'm not sure if he left any money on the table for Nylander or Marner, but it looks like Nylander has probably played his way out of Toronto with demanding no less than $10 million on a long-term deal. I thought, it was a great deal for Toronto to get him locked in, and Austin will still have enough time in his youth to get a bigger contract once the salary cap goes up.
Refresh my memory, Lou. Was it 13.5 or 14.5?
I think it was a total of, was it 68 for four?
It was a 4 year deal. I thought it was a 5 year deal.
We
got to do our homework a little bit better next time, man. We're suffering. Okay. We got to really wipe the rust off from the summer hiatus here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, the signing was such a long time ago. In my mind, it sticks as a 5 year, 13.5, but you might be right. I don't think it makes much difference for purpose of the discussion, because you're right. The Leafs wanted them, obviously, longer term. And, you know, I kind of like the compromise here. Like, I mean, there's a lot of what I call crazy debate on social media saying, you know, like, you know, let Matthews walk. We're not going to pay him 13.5. We're not going to pay him 14. We're not going to sign him for long term. And I says, that's just nuts. He's your franchise. You're going to sink or swim with this guy. So he's the guy. So build the team around him. And this is your window of opportunity. You know, you still got your core four, other than Tavares. You know, you still got your core guys that are in the prime of their careers. You know, Leafs got to make a run for it in the next. They got to do whatever they got to do in the next couple of years. And this is the guy. Goals, more goals than anybody else in the last few years. MVP. You let this guy go for nothing? What are you, crazy? I actually heard that. So I thought that this was sort of a reasonable compromise. I like the fact that, you know, if the Leafs are going to do anything, it's going to be in the next 5 years, isn't it, Lou? Like, who cares about what's going to happen 7-8 years from now? So the fact they didn't sign him for 8 years didn't bother me all that much. We're going to make it happen. We're going to make it happen in the next 5 years. And I like the fact that Austin Matthews is betting on himself, too, in this sense that, you know, he's got to go back into the marketplace. And he could have taken a lot of money from Toronto for 8 years. But him and his agent decided that they're going to bet on themselves, and they think they're going to make more money in 5 years' time, that he's going to be one of the top players in the NHL in 5 years' time, and he's going into the marketplace in 5 years and, you know, maybe getting a $20 million contract, given that everybody's expecting the cap to go up in the next few years. So when I heard about that, I thought it was a good move for both sides, and I love the fact that Matthews is betting on himself. He's got the confidence to say, you know, I don't have to sign for 8 years. I don't have to put all that money in the bank. You know what? I'm going to be one of the top players in the game in 5 years' time, and you know, I'm going to go out and get a lot more money. And good for him. Good for him and good for the Leafs. And good for Brad Tree Living and Brandon and Shanahan and the cap guys down there. The two other notable guys, Lou, before we go to break, Todd, it's going to take me a while to forget that. The Bertuzzi kid and the Domi kid.
We only wish it was Todd.
Yeah. The Bertuzzi kid and of course, Ty's kid. What'd you think of those ones, Lou?
I really liked both of them in the sense that Tyler Bertuzzi signed a one-year deal. He's going to bet on himself again. The problem with him is he going to stay healthy? to earn that long-term deal here with the Leafs, and being an Ontario boy, knowing that he likes playing here. And obviously Max got the history with Ty. And you're going to see a big breakout year from Max if he's used properly. I'm just not sure if we can have a box that's going to be big enough to hold Ty's head every time he comes into town.
We're just back on the air. Can you be nice, please? Please.
I think Ty will probably be laughing about this.
You know, I think Ty's thrilled that the son's playing in Toronto.
Oh, sure, he's thrilled.
That should be, you know what, like, where do they got, where do they have Max slotted in? Third line center? Where's he going to roll on this team?
You know what, he's pretty flexible. He could probably go third line center or second or third line left winger, because we don't know whether Matthew Knies is going to fit into that role permanently.
Yeah, well, certainly Knies is also down playing in the prospect camp. The other guy is playing in the prospects. His first game with the Chicago Blackhawks, I don't know if you've seen the highlight reels. Connor Bedard scored a hat trick already. So, I mean, this kid is a sharpshooter beyond. Reminds me of Brett Hull in a lot of ways. Man, you get the puck on his stick, it ends up in the back of the net pretty fast. So there's going to be a lot of Leafs dialogue. We're just scratching the surface. They're getting into the thick of the training camp soon. Exhibition games will be starting shortly, and hope springs eternal. We have a lot of Leaf talk. I don't think they've solved their defense woes or their goaltending woes, but we'll certainly get into that conversation. We've got to go to break, and before we go to break, this is tough interview that we've got coming up in a lot of different ways for me. Back at the end of June, I received a phone call saying that Bob McCowan, the legend of Canadian sports broadcasting, had suffered a couple of strokes. And he tweeted out, he was kind enough to keep all of his fans in the loop, and this was his tweet from June 30th. "I guess I should let you know that I've had two strokes over the last couple of weeks and have been in the hospital since." This was June 30th. "I can't walk or talk, but I'm getting better very slowly. Hope to get home and back on the podcast as quick as possible." Last couple of months have been pretty challenging for Bob McCowan, but he's recovered. He's met his challenges. He's recovered. He's agreed to come on the show this morning. And I've always considered him, when it comes to Canadian sports talk radio, there's Bob McCowan at one level, and there's always been everybody else at a different level. He's been the guy. He made, in a lot of ways, Canadian sports talk radio. I love doing this. I've loved listening to him for so many years. And I got to be honest with you, I'm never going to enjoy listening to him more than I'm going to enjoy listening to Bob McCowan. We'll have him right on after the break. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville held a quiz. A Panzerotti is A, an expensive Italian sports car, B, a famous Italian opera singer, or C, a mouth-watering pizza, fresh made with your choice of toppings, folded and deep-fried or baked to a golden crust. Hint, if you're hungry, choose C. Call Pizzaville from your cell at #3636.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, Search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.3. And we also live video stream on the internet, www.zoomerradio.ca. You can see me proudly sporting my Notre Dame Fighting Irish hoodie this morning in studio. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour a good friend of mine, the legend, the godfather of Canadian sports radio, the guy, the franchise, talking about Bob McCowan. Bob, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you? I'm fine.
Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us, Bob. In my introduction, I did tell our listeners about the challenges you've been facing. I talked about your tweet to everybody on June 30th about the two strokes you've had. In the beginning, you couldn't walk or talk. Just let our listeners know how you've come along, how you've progressed.
Well, I spent 5 weeks in the hospital, most of which I couldn't talk, and I had to use a wheelchair in order to get around. But I've managed to progress. I'm now, well, you can hear I'm talking a bit anyway. And I am walking, although my balance is still a little bit off. I have made progress. It's slow, I will tell you, but you keep working at it every day, do your exercise, etc. And I'm trying to get better.
We're all praying for you, Bob. We obviously are thrilled you could join us this morning. I know our listeners love hearing the sound of your voice and that you're improving. Bob, you made a decision when this first happened to you that a lot of people would not have made the same decision you made, which was you've been public about what happened to you. A lot of people that this would have happened to would have just retreated into their privacy, not tweeted, not discussed it with anybody, and just kept it to themselves. You took a different approach. Because you were, and we say you couldn't walk, you couldn't talk, but your thumb and your fingers were working. And obviously your brain was working. And you decided that you were going to share with all of your fans and all of your supporters and all of your followers what was happening to you. What made you make that decision to be so transparent and be so public with all of us?
Yeah, I can't take credit for making the decision myself. It was actually John Shannon's idea. He came to the hospital to visit me, and we were just sitting, and we talked about whether I should say anything. This was 2 weeks after the stroke. I wasn't much better than I was when it happened. But John said I should, we talked about whether he would say anything, because he hadn't said anything on the podcast either. So, he said you should, tell people what you're going through. And so I sat down and I did a quick tweet. And I followed that up with two or three other tweets in the next few weeks, just to let people know what was happening and what I was going through. Whether that was the right idea or not, I don't know. But it was Shannon's idea, not mine.
Yeah, I certainly think Shannon was giving you wise advice. It's a very personal decision when it comes to those things. But I think a lot of us have appreciated knowing how you're doing, and a lot of us have appreciated being told that you're getting better. When I get the opportunity, I'm going to thank John Shannon for giving you that advice. Bob, you obviously over the years, there's been the private Bob, and then there's been the Bob on television and radio. You know, you've always been that tough guy in the studio and cantankerous and to the point and blah, 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 blah. Never really showed your emotions all that much when you were doing when you're doing prime time and all those years and, you know, even on your podcast now. There's been an incredible, tremendous outpouring. And I, you know, I see it on your Twitter site. I watch, you know, I read some of the posts there from all the great people in Canadian sports radio, from James Duthie, and the list is endless of the people who have gone on and given you kind words. You know, a tremendous, tremendous, testimonial from Sid Sixero, where he said, you know, he got into sports talk radio because of you, and, you know, you were the standard. It's probably a lot of this is embarrassing to you, Bob, but what is all that tremendous support that people have given you? What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I didn't do the tweet in order to get that.
Yep.
But what I did get is I got 1.3 million responses. My old first tweet, which is astounding. And subsequently, I've had phone calls or tweets, emails from, people all over North America. It's been very kind and very gratifying, but it wasn't why I did it, obviously. I don't know what impact it's had on me other than, you know, for a guy who hasn't been on radio or TV for 3 years now, to still have that kind of reaction is, I think, pretty incredible.
No,
it's, so I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, it certainly is incredible, and it's a testament to your career and testament to you. And you've made a huge influence in a lot of people's careers. And you know, I talked to people who've worked for you. The public has this certain Bob McCowan persona, but you talk to some of the people that have worked for you, and the guy that's off the air isn't, Bob, you're probably going to kick me in the ass for trying to paint you as a nice guy, but, you know, you're pretty generous. You're, you are pretty nice. You're not necessarily always that tough guy on the air, and that certainly has shown through in a lot of. I mean, I read the tweets that people post, encouraging you and supporting you, and it is pretty heartwarming. Bob, we have I've got Lou Franceschetti joining me in studio, not in studio. He's helping me co-host this morning. Lou, I know you've got this. Would be your opportunity to give your best regards to Bob. Go ahead, Lou.
Morning, Bob.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Listen, I just want to thank you for all those years that you've given me on the radio, knowing that with the sports background and more or less the variety of topics that you've talked about, not necessarily on the, let's say, political side, but you've shown all sides of everything to everybody. You've ruffled a lot of feathers over the years, but I'll tell you, you got one big backer right here that I've always looked forward to your show at four o'clock, from 4 to 6 every day. I don't know how you're handling it, what you've got or what you've had, but will there be a time that you can be able to get back to your regular duties, whether it's playing golf or doing anything?
You're broken up quite a bit, both of you. My connection isn't very good right now. So I'm sorry. I don't know what you said there, Lou.
Bob, let me... Bob, can you hear me well?
I can now.
Okay, I'll lose remotely, so sometimes we have challenges with the conversation. I'll briefly give you an executive summary. The gist of what Lou was, first of all, he gave you all he said he was, he very much appreciated all the times that he was on your show and what you did for him, and made him part of quite a bit of what you did. At the end, he finished off. You got a podcast going, and I was going to get into this as well, the Bob McCowan podcast. Lou's essentially asking, and you know, our listeners want to know, what's your future with that podcast? Any prospect of getting back on it? I know John Shannon, who's been an incredible friend to you, has kept that thing going. But any possibility in the near future we're going to hear Bob McCowan back on that podcast?
Well, I actually, the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've done one segment per week. Last week I did 2 segments. Now they're only 10-minute segments, but just an effort to let people know that I'm still alive. And at some point, maybe I'll go back and do the podcast again. I hope that's the case. I just have to get my voice and my, you know, physical stature back to where it was before I can do it. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting. I'll let you finish your train of thought, Bob.
No, I'm finished, basically.
I don't want to get too deep into this, only to the extent you're comfortable talking about it, trying to be sensitive to your situation. But you don't, you know, you've been honest and you've shared your situation with all of us publicly, and we appreciate that. What's in the near future here for Bob? Are you going for therapy? How are you meeting your challenges from a medical point of view? What's going on, Bob?
Well, I've been in therapy. You know, I finished the therapy that they prescribed for me. I had 3 different people helping me out. They came to my house. Of course, I can't leave the house. I don't have my driver's license anymore, and I can't walk well enough yet to really be on my own. I do walk okay. You know, I'm not using a cane anymore, so I'm not that bad. But I still can't. There are a lot of things I can't do. And while my brain works, it isn't perfect. And my mind, you know, I can't remember names as well as I used to. And I want to get all that back before I do the podcast again. I'm hopeful that it'll only take a few more weeks, but we'll see. You know, it's a day-to-day situation.
All we can do, Bob, is wish you all the best. We're pulling for you. You know how much this means to. I know how much it means to you, obviously, and your family. But all of your listeners, all of your fans, all of your friends. You know, we're thrilled at the recovery you've had so far. Keep it going, my friend. You mean, you know,
I hope so.
In Canadian sports radio, I'll end it this way. You're the guy, as Bret Hart used to say, you're the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Bob,
that's really kind. You know,
it's a testament to you. It's a testament to your career. And
thanks, Walter.
The fact that you took the time for us this morning to share with our listeners, and I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners that have been or are in the situation you are, or members of their family at some point in time. You know, stroke I don't know how to describe it, but it affects a lot of people and a lot of families, and the fact that you've been kind enough and generous enough to share your experience with our listeners, I'm sure that they're so much appreciative, as are Lou and I, and as is Naz. And I can just finish this off by saying, Bob, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
My pleasure. I can tell you that, you know, a stroke is not something you think about at all, unless there's somebody in your family, there's someone you know that's had one. And I never thought about it, but it's a horrible thing. And it just takes a lot of work in order to try and get back. And that's what I'm trying to do right now, is trying to get back. Yeah. So thank you, Walter.
Thank you, Bob. Your words are inspiring to me and to all of our listeners. Keep well. And Bob, we'll be in touch soon. Thanks so much.
Oh, okay, pal. Bye-bye.
Bob McCowan. Lou, you know, that's it's tough following up from that. you know, when people suffer health challenges, and this is like, you know, and, you know, Bob, front and center with us, and, you know, and Shannon, you know, going back to what he said about why he shared this, and it was the encouragement from Shannon, and I got to pop John Shannon a note. I go, you know, when you take the ability to share these things with other people, maybe you can help somebody else. And you give other people hope, and you give other people encouragement. When you see that something like this has happened to somebody of such public figure as Bob McCowan, and started off, couldn't walk or talk. And I remember, you know, seeing him quite early when this had happened in the hospital, and to see the recovery he's made, and the fact that he comes out here and spends 15 minutes on the phone, you know, it's inspiring, and it, you know, may mean, you know, there may be a bunch of listeners out there this morning that say, you know, that are encouraged just by him being public about his situation. Lou?
Well, you know what, I don't know if strokes are in, if you can prevent them or not from happening, but it's tough listening to the way Bob was talking. And really for a guy that was as active as him, I know he played golf almost every single day and had the winery. It's really tough to listen to and also sometimes accept what he's going through, because you really don't wish that upon anybody. But I really wish him the fastest and speediest recovery possible, because he is missed by a lot of people out there. And I'm talking about millions of people that listen to his podcast and just regular guys like myself.
Yeah, man, you know, it's funny that you listen to him, and you know, you can tell by the voice on the air today, you know, he's not exactly, the voice isn't as crystal or as, obviously if you've heard it for the first time, it may have, may sound different. I will tell you from my perspective, I'm inspired by what I heard today. I know how far he's come. I know when it was he couldn't talk, and the recovery he's made in 2.5 months is remarkable. So I'm listening to him being able to conduct an interview on a radio station this morning. Man, that's pretty powerful stuff. Brought almost a tear to my eye and a smile to my face for sure. So he's come a long way, and he's got a ways to go, but he's meeting it. He's getting there. So we'll wrap it up at that point, and we'll move on. We're gonna go to break. We're gonna come back. We've got Butch Carter. We've got the Canadian national men's basketball team. We've got to recap the recent FIBA tournament. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised that some big pizza conglomerates want to make the cheapest pizza. Some want to be the fastest. At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone baked, the traditional Italian way. It's what we strive for every day, to be the best, not the fastest or the cheapest. Oh, cue the announcer.
Pizzaville, stone baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition
If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc., trading cards and sports merchandise, is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from downtown Toronto in Liberty Village. We're on AM 740, 96.7 FM, and also live video streaming and www.zoomerradio.ca. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour former Raptors coach Butch Carter. Good morning, Butch. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Walter?
We're good, thanks, Butch. I don't know if our producer here told you we're on the line with Lou Franceschetti. Sorry we kept you a little bit longer. We just, as I'm sure you were aware, we had an interview with Bob McCowan, and we kept it going. Pretty inspiring stuff. I know, Butch, you're a friend of Bob. You've been in touch with him, so we're all pulling for Bob McCown.
Absolutely, and I apologize, Lou. Should have said hello to you to start out with. We've always been friends, so I don't want you to put a body check on me next time. Lou there?
Yeah, Lou.
I'm here.
Okay, Lou. Okay. Lou promised he wasn't going to put a body check on you, Butch. We just came off a remarkable performance by the Canadian men's national basketball team. We were in a fight. We had to have certain results to make sure that this Canadian basketball team qualified for the Paris Olympics next summer. We got into it, came down a do or die game against Spain, who are number one in the world. But look at what this Canadian team accomplished. We beat Spain, number one. We beat France, who are highly, highly rated. We beat the Americans. A little sideways track against Brazil, no big deal. And unfortunately, we couldn't figure out a way to get that result against Serbia. But man, there's a lot of positive energy going into the Paris Olympics next year. And I look at what could potentially be a backcourt of Jamal Murray and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That very well could be the best backcourt in all of basketball at the Olympics next summer. So there's certainly a lot to be positive about. Butch, give us your thoughts about what we witnessed at the recent World Cup and the expectations going forward.
Well, I think the main thing that comes to mind is that when I came here in 97, there were a lot of these kids that weren't allowed to play for Canada basketball. To me, it seemed that it was segregated at the time, and a lot of guys didn't get a chance. And I take my hat off to the Caribbean guys who created this AAU funnel and risked their livelihoods to get these kids into U.S. schools and then directly drafted from the NBA. That backcourt that you're talking about, both those kids went to Kentucky, have made all pro. One now has an NBA championship, which has been a while since a Canadian has had an NBA championship, but he's been an integral part of that NBA championship. I agree with you that they may be the best backcourt tandem if they play together in Paris. It's you can't argue where they're at in their professional careers. Both of them have outstanding families, and it's just nice to see Canadian kids be able to, if they got up early in the morning or someone recorded for them, to see other Canadian kids not only just playing basketball but being successful at the highest level. But you know, and you guys would understand this, the FIBA basketball is entirely different than NBA basketball. It requires two things. It requires a very large IQ about basketball because there's less possessions, and it requires you have the ability to make shots. And if you look at what the Canadian team did, was that they made shots. They made shots all through the game. If they were down 10 or 11, they came back and made shots. There was really seems to be no panic in them, and I think a lot of that has to do with Shea, and I have to give credit to the head coach. But a FIBA game in the Olympics or the World Championships is more like a glorified high school game. The players can't call timeout. The coach has to run to the table and call timeout. So it's very important you keep track of scoring runs. You know, the U.S. team was, I mean, very unsuccessful, and a lot of it had to do with that the coaching staff was very unfamiliar with the limitations of timeouts and substitutions. So the Canadians played their best basketball against the best teams in a round-robin tournament, and you really have to take your hat off to them. It is a definitely another milestone in what I believe started a long time ago by guys who gave young kids credit. And I don't think anyone can say enough about what Shea and Dylan and Den did for Canada basketball.
Yeah, certainly. Before I turn it over to Lou, the latest rankings out of FIBA, Canada's jumped all the way up to number 6. We're certainly, no question, we're a medal contender. And then if we get Jamal in the lineup next summer, we get Andrew Wiggins. You're talking about two guys that have excelled at the highest level with NBA championship rings. You know, Canada, you know, they could very well be in the mix, certainly for a medal, you know, but you never know. You never know. I mean, Germany won the gold medal. I think Canada played them twice in the pre-tournament, and they did very well against the Germans, if memory serves me correctly. So, certainly.
Well, I mean, this is what happened, all right? Canada knew how to play the pick and roll. The U.S. coaches did a very poor job of playing against Germany's pick and roll. All right, that point guard is now signed with the Raptors, and he's always been good. But, you know, you take all these guys that are now playing FIBA basketball that have played against NBA players, they're not scared of them at all. And, you know, what you saw was Germany just take the Americans apart. They had no idea when to call timeouts. They had no idea how to play the pick and roll. And they wouldn't take the ball out of his hands, and Canada did. And that's why I say you got to give credit to the Canadian coaching, because a good team is normally a combination of both. The coach has them in the right sets or has the ability to call a timeout and get them in the right schemes. And the players have the IQ to absorb what the coach is delivering to them. And I think with Canada, you just saw a very high level of IQ. I think that, you know, Dylan guarded the best player on the other team. It freed up RJ to go be RJ. And if you add Wiggins and Jamal to it, I do think they need another big. But they have a very high IQ about basketball. They're not dumb basketball players. And it's just a great award for Canada overall. Regardless of its basketball, it's just a great award and accomplishment for the country.
Lou?
Butch, you know, watching the World Championships and seeing all these countries compete against a majority of players from the U.S. and Canadian teams, where are all these quality players playing when you see them on the World Championship but you don't see them in the NBA, thinking that they're good enough to play in the NBA?
Well, the issue is, Lou, they may be good enough to play for a year or two, but they're playing in the EuroLeague. They're playing in the top basketball league in Europe. And, you know, a while ago, back in the 70s, when the Americans started going to play over in the EuroLeague, and you know, Joe Bryant, Kobe Bryant's dad, was one of them, the Europeans were smart enough to unionize their basketball leagues and so that the local guys could play. And they spent the last, you know, 40 years developing FIBA basketball at the highest level. Their arenas are sold out. Their fans are really fanatical. And so these guys can play there, you know, in their home country, you know, for 8, 9, 10 years instead of coming to the NBA and worrying about being cut after the first contract. So the positioning of being drafted in the NBA pretty much aligns, unless you get injured, that you're going to get, you know, $50 million on your first contract and $190 million on your second contract. But that only gets you 7 or 8 years, even for the best players in the NBA. And the Europeans who are fringe and don't get drafted high enough, they've just decided against it. Now, we'll see how this works out for San Antonio and this kid from France. But I think it's going to be very tough for him because he is a perimeter skilled player. And really it's a question of how the officials are going to let defenders play him. He's not Tim Duncan. He's not David Robinson. He has a different skill set. But the really good European players, look, the Raptors have drafted, you know, guys, and, you know, some of them have flopped. You know, Valasiunas is the only one, you know, that's had a long career. But a lot of guys, they scout Europe. But the question is, how do you get a guy that can give you 10 years? And if I was a European player and if I wasn't drafted high enough where I got guaranteed money to take care of my family, I wouldn't come either. I'd stay home.
What kind of salaries are they making over there?
Please, Lou?
I said, what kind of salaries are they making over there to want to stay in their home country?
They're making, you know, the middle of the road guys are making 800,000 or 900,000 euros. The top guys are, you know, making from 3 million to 10 million. You got to remember, Lou, that Europe has the oldest money in the world. Right? Okay. American money is new money. I mean, yeah. European money, you know, has got rust on it.
And you also got money coming in from the Middle East, too.
That's correct.
Yeah. So the lot of money flow. I mean, it's not NBA money. It's not $50 million a year. But they can throw a few bucks around over there too. Butch, I want to ask you about a player that I wouldn't say he was a revelation, but he played outstanding basketball for Canada. Dylan Brooks, 39 points against the Americans. I think he got voted to the all tournament team. Criticized on the NBA side, he had that little run-in with LeBron, if I'm not mistaken. He certainly performed, and you know, he showed himself to be one of the best basketball players in the world. Your comments on Dylan Brooks?
Well, I think I first met Dylan. He was 16 years old, and I used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and meet him at the YMCA in Mississauga. And man, he was stubborn. Dylan has shown himself to be resilient. Hopefully he's grown from his exit in Memphis. But I'd have to say, you know, you got to give him credit for how he played for his country. He was outstanding in his defensive play throughout the tournament. You know, many of his teammates, you know, raved about his ability to guard the best player on the other team every single night. But he is an asset to the Canadian team. Every good team needs a great wing defender. Your wing players on offense touch the ball more than any other player when they're really good. And Dylan's guarding them in a 5-foul environment. That's really hard to do. But, you know, his resiliency from, you know, what he went through at Memphis, and now I believe he's with Dallas. Dallas has got to love what they saw. Luka's going to love that he's got a wing defender like Dylan Brooks guarding the other team's best player instead of on him. But I think that, you know, hands off to Dylan. He did a great job for the Canadian team, and that's really what it should be about, right? And again, young people make mistakes. We all did. And kudos to him for his recovery, especially during this tournament.
No, there's no question. We have to, you know, give credit where credit is due. He He was an outstanding, outstanding player for Canada, wearing that red and white, and we can give him nothing but kudos for that performance and for his commitment to the team. So got to give credit where credit is due. Gentlemen, I want to get away. We've got about 5 minutes left. A couple of topics we might be able to get into. We've got NCAA football. The SEC doesn't seem to be what it used to be. And closer to home, at certainly this point in the season, closer to the home, we have the Blue Jays, who seem to be underachieving. Wasn't their greatest week. They got a result yesterday in the strangest of ways. Most important matchup of the season against the Rangers, 4-game series, and they get swept. My goodness. But they're still in a wild card spot as of this morning. They're hanging by the thread, and we're down to the short strokes. Man, this is a maddening team to watch because you get the sense that they're underachieving. First, I'll go to you, Butch, and then I'll turn it over to you, Lou. Butch, are the Blue Jays underachieving? They don't seem, you know, in a huge series against the Rangers, and they just seem to have rolled over. What's going on with the Jays, Butch?
Well, I mean, you and Lou have heard me many a time. Like, I only count the stats of what guys do against winning teams. All right? The Blue Jays all year long have not been good against winning teams. But also, I think it goes to what they did during the offseason. You know, every management team has the right to do what they need to do to win. But in my opinion, it looks like they made a conscientious decision to get rid of some of the Latin players and eliminate the whole home run jacket culture. And look, when you're on the outside, you don't know what's going on with players off the field. But it looks like they went after players who maybe not have been as talented as those guys. They got rid of Vlade's. They got rid of Oscar. And I think it negatively affected Vlade. Vlade was having fun with those guys and playing great baseball. And I think there is a correlation between they emptied out 3 or 4 Latin players that Vlade was close to, and he is not mature enough to handle it. And when I say mature enough, I go to, you know, Vlade can look great when he slides at home and avoids a tag. But running the bases, you see him make blunders, and the slump that he's in has to be a direct correlation, because we know he has a talent, but it doesn't even seem like he's seeing the baseball. So the Blue Jays are what they are. Texas comes in, and, you know, they put together this pitching staff that during the season they were awesome. But the Blue Jays were behind from jump in every game. And culturally, I think that the change that they decided to make, no home run jackets, whatever else was going on in the locker room, it's come back to bite them in the behind.
Lou, I turn it over to you. I know you're not a Blue Jays fan. You're more of a Yankee guy. But, you know, you watch baseball. You've seen what the Blue Jays, you know, I find it, and I wouldn't use the word remarkable, but they're still in a wild card spot. And, you know, if this team gets hot and if they get some pitching, you know, they could create some damage in the postseason. You never know. What's your assessment of it? It was dispiriting the way they lost to Texas this week. You would have thought that they would have come in guns a-blazing. And they whimpered out. What's going on with the Jays, Lou?
Well, I Butch couldn't have put it any better. It's the culture that's in the locker room. You look at end up watching the game, the swings that they're taking on pitches that are nowhere near the plate, situational baseball, guys in scoring position, and they're going 2 for 30 in a big series like Texas. They filled all the pieces that they needed to fill in the offseason. They got they brought in Jordan Hicks and another closer to help Jordan Romano. They went out and got Varsho. They got a lot of more speed.
And I'm not, you know, a lot of the blame is being put on Vladdy because he's not having the kind of year that Vladdy usually hit, batting around 330, having 40 to 45 home runs and knocking in about 100 to 120 runs. But I think it's just a combination of everything right now that some of those guys might be losing a little bit of focus. When you bring up a kid like David Schneider, who's more or less grilly, he's kept this team in the hunt. The way he's played the last 4 or 5 weeks from Buffalo, it's amazing. But I think they're probably the most dangerous team on the outside looking in if they have to play anybody in a short series or even in a long series, because they've got everything that it takes to go right to the finals.
Anyways, Lou, on that note, the producer is giving me the glare. Dan, they come in with new rules since we came off. I've got to get rid of the bad habits I had from previous seasons. At 10 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, he's giving me the royal glare right now, so we got to go. Lou, thanks so much for joining us. Butch, you know how much I appreciate you joining us. Naz, I want to see you in the hot seat again next Sunday. To all our loyal listeners, thank you so much for listening. Some of you have been listening forever on our show, and we appreciate it. And we'll be back again next Sunday morning. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.